The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to the Caddy Boy Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Fairways, and we are going to talk about how to improve your golf game one stroke at a time. Let's grab our clubs and head to the first tee. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the Caddy Boy Podcast. I am your host, Dr. Fairways, and today I'd like to welcome my very first guest on the podcast from Carmel, California, young freshman, Mr. Jonathan Chen. Hello, Jonathan. How are you?
Doing good. How are you? Glad to be on the show.
Yeah, we are very happy to have you. So on this show, we've talked about how to improve higher handicappers to get them better. We've talked about some of my college experiences and tournament rounds and my growth from being just a amateur kind of run-of-the-mill player to getting competitive in collegiate golf. So I want to start off, let's introduce the viewers to you a little bit. Tell me a little bit about your journey through golf and how you kind of started and to where you are now.
Yeah, so I started golf at a pretty young age. I was around 3.5. My dad put a plastic club in my hand, and ever since then, I kind of been really involved in golf. But the first tournament I was like really interested in was the Masters. I remember watching that as my dad was watching it, and that really got me into golf. And I started hitting the golf ball around 4 years old, 4.5. And then I started playing like competitive golf when I was around 5.5, I remember, because there's a 6 and under version in US Kids, and I was like 5.5 in that. And then ever since then, I played competitive golf throughout my junior career.
Okay. So did you kind of have aspirations at like that young of an age to like compete at a high level, or was it more of just like one of the fun sports that you played?
Yeah, so I played some other sports, but golf was my main focus. I mean, I played some basketball on the side and tennis a lot, but mainly it was golf. I remember like talking with other people about like going like pro and stuff when I was like 7 or 8. I was like really good for my age group at that time. So yeah, it was really golf was my main focus.
Why golf, do you think, out of all the sports? What do you think, like, for you, what made it kind of just like a no-brainer?
I think it's just because it's something I could do to spend time with my dad a lot. One of my favorite memories as a kid is like chasing down the sun, playing golf with my dad as it gets really dark and like really cold. So yeah.
So you're more of an afternoon tea time more than a morning tea time guy.
I like both, yeah.
But would you say there's more of a connection to the afternoon tea time just because you played a lot of that growing up?
Not really, only if like the sun's setting and I'm with my dad.
Gotcha. Really, so dad's got to be there for the sunset to be just right. Very cool. So let's kind of segue into competitive golf. So you said that you played when you were younger, you were really good for your age. Was there ever like an age or a time in your life where you remember being like, I'm pretty good right now, but everybody else around me is pretty good too? Like, was that kind of middle school, high school, when you started realizing like there's more competition out there than you thought?
Yeah, so when I was around like, I think 10 to 13, I think, I made it to nationals and stuff and like US Kids or like Worlds or something like that. I forget.
Junior Worlds.
Junior Worlds, yeah. For like 2 straight years at Pinehurst. And then like COVID kind of hit, and then I realized like I kind of fell short of what my peers were doing, who I was beating. Like, for example, there's a kid who I knew who I'd beat like most of the time, not all the time, but he was like definitely around my same level, and I feel like I was better. But then like COVID kind of hit, and then like a little bit after that, and he was like way better than me. I was like, whoa, like what's going on here? So I kind of really like hit me when I was around like, how old was I, like freshman year of high school, like
probably 14.
Like 14, 15. Yeah. So like 14.
What was that like for you? Like when you realized you're like, because I kind of had a similar experience where I was kind of that guy for you in high school, where I was like, I'm not as good as some of the guys on my team. Like we had a senior when I was a freshman who went to Sac State, and then we had another guy who had a couple D1 offers, and I was averaging 84, 85, so I didn't really have any aspirations. But did it kind of flip a switch in you that you're like, oh, okay, like I really got to kind of buckle down and kind of get better? Or was it more like my game's good enough, we'll see where it takes me.
Yeah, so before that, I didn't really have to, like, do much work, because I was, like, playing golf only, like, probably like once or twice a week, just on the weekends, and I was pretty good. But then I realized after the switch in skills between me and some of my, like, peers, I realized, like, oh, wow, I really have to work and, like, actually practice in order to become better. And I think I started, like, trying to figure out how to practice because I didn't really know. I would just kind of go onto the course and play. And then it was really in my, like, later stages of my, like, golf career where I really, like, learned how to practice and get better.
I know that's something actually we discussed when you kind of first got here. You kind of approached me and you were like, hey, I really am not sure how to practice. And for those who really don't know, like, what's the difference between, like, actual block practice and just, like, going to hit balls?
So, like, block practice is when you, like, kind of segment your practice into, like, certain things. Like, usually, like, you warm up and then you start on, like, mechanics and stuff. So, like, say you're trying to take the club back, like, a little more outside. You probably work on that for, like, a good third or half of your, like, practice. And then the rest is just kind of, like, I don't know. It's just, like, for me, I just kind of, like, randomize it or I do some, like, skill shots. And
I think it's important because, like, you have a very unique game where you don't really play one single shot shape. You have the ability to, which is really good, but you're also a very big creative. I remember, like, my first time that we played together was a qualifier at Richmond Golf Club, and I watched you, first shot I ever saw you hit was a 5-wood just straight into the water.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, like, it's nervous, it's fine. And then you drop the same 5-wood from 230 yards and hit it to 10 feet. And for those who aren't really aware of golf, like, that's not just something you can just easily do. And it was an incredible command over your ball. Like, you see a lot of young kids on the range hitting stingers, hitting high hooks, high slices, and all that kind of stuff. But it's actually shots that you yourself, you put into play. Like, you're actually comfortable hitting those shots under pressure because you've actually practiced them. Like, most people think, like, oh, I'm just trying to hit the range cart or the sign when I'm at the range, and that's practice. But you actually make that a part of your block practice, where you're working on shot shapes and different things. But talk to me a little bit about, like, the transition from, like, hitting golf balls to, like, actual block practice. Like, did you notice a difference?
I'd say, like, when I was first, like, getting into just, like, going to the range, I would just kind of, like, whack balls. But then I realized, like, as the more I'm able to repeat a certain, like, swing, which, like, block practice helped me do with, like, mechanics and stuff, I noticed my game got way more consistent. And, yeah.
Okay. So what is another thing that we can kind of talk about now? You're kind of wrapping up your freshman year in college, your first collegiate golf experience. What's the biggest thing you've noticed that's different between high school and college golf?
One thing I noticed is, like, at least for me, I learned to love, like, practicing way more. Like, I wouldn't say that before college, like, it felt like a task that I had to do. I still loved doing it, but it felt more like something I just had to get out of the way for the day in order for my game to, like, improve or stay the same, instead of, like, something that I looked forward to doing. But, like, as I got to college, like, I, being surrounded by everyone who, like, just enjoys practicing and the grind, I kind of, like, feel, like, morphed into someone who likes doing that, so, yeah.
It kind of changes you and your game a little bit, would you agree? Like, I noticed, like, when I got here, it was almost I had to kind of set the tone for what the team wanted to be, right? Like, I couldn't tell you as a freshman, hey, go practice, and then I would just go play some holes with buddies. Like, I had to sit there and practice with you because you have to lead by example. And segueing into that, I've been your captain now for a year. We've only known each other for a year, but it feels like a bit longer. What is something that you've noticed that I've done as a captain that you would say would help you, or maybe that didn't help you?
Yeah, I mean, like, a lot of times when we have, like, decisions to make, it's good to have, like, a voice that, you know, you can, like, be decisive and stuff instead of being, like, 50-50, because I feel like it's really important to be able to, like, be able to follow someone who, like, can make decisions and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when, like, the coaches are out, like, coaching the girls at tournaments, it's nice to like not have to scramble for what we do for practice, especially on those peacock mornings.
Yeah.
We have like a set thing to do.
Okay. Give me your favorite college golf experience that you've had so far.
Ooh, I don't know if I can say that on the air.
Yes, you can.
It was after the home course. We got done and I was having some like, actually I'm not gonna say that.
You're talking about the airport?
Yeah, the airport. We had some, let's just say,
not the freshest food of all time?
Yeah, not the freshest food of all time. And yeah, I don't know. I just really like traveling a lot. Another fond memory that I had was down in San Diego. That was really fun.
Was it the Texas Roadhouse or just the whole trip itself?
There's a donut that Joe got me.
Okay.
It was so good. I don't even know how to explain it.
One of your favorite college golf experiences was a donut in San Diego. That's what I'm hearing.
No, I mean, my favorite is the home course in, was it Washington?
Washington.
Yeah, Washington.
In DuPont, Washington.
DuPont, Washington.
DuPont, Washington, yeah. It's about an hour and 10-minute drive from Seattle.
Oh.
It's a pretty cool course. Would you say that the travel and kind of all of the extracurricular stuff at tournaments is almost more fun than the tournaments themselves?
Yeah, I mean, the tournaments, like, is obviously what you go there to do. But then, like, I don't know, it kind of phases out of your memory, in a sense, and the things that you really focus on is just, like, hanging with everyone on the team and doing stuff together, so.
Yeah, it's like in high school, like, when you, like, the van rides were, like, some of the best parts to tournaments, and, like, if you would ever, you know, if coach was saying, hey, you guys have to drive to this tournament, like, that was so much fun, like, you kind of didn't really care what you shot because you were all with the boys. Here's an interesting question I have for you. What do you think is something that you've seen from kind of casual golfers that they can change in more their decision-making and the way they play the game that could actually drop them a couple shots?
Are these, like, casual golfers who are, like, out going to, like, drink and stuff where they, like, they want to play better?
Want to play better. Let's say, just for an example, we have a 10 to 15 handicap who's pretty solid in most parts of his game, but let's say course management isn't his greatest
attribute. I mean,
like, what is some course management tips you would give to a casual golfer to save a couple shots?
A lot of times they just don't, like, they overestimate how far they hit their clubs. So I'd say, like, clubbing up or something like that. And then maybe if there's trouble on the right, like a hazard or something, just aiming away from it. And a lot of the times, three putts and, like, four putting is, like, a big thing for, like, a casual golfer, I'd say. So just, I don't know, maybe practicing on putting speed can really help avoiding three putts.
Do you ever think it's also, like, their expectations are a little too high? Because I feel like every amateur that I've run into, like, I'm pretty happy if I hit a 9-iron within 30 feet, because at least it's, you know, it's a birdie putt, and I'm probably good to two-putt it and make par, but they can hit it to 15 feet and be kind of upset with it. Like, I think expectations or managing expectations is something that most casual golfers can improve on. Would you agree?
Yeah. I think, like, casual golfers, they see, like, the highlights of professional golf.
Right.
And then they, like, try and replicate it when they obviously haven't put in the work to be able to do that.
So. Yeah, like, we've seen, because coach has done a really good job at explaining to us, like, pro golf is not really, like, unbelievably exceptional play. It's just they're all kind of missing in the right spots, and if their putter gets hot, they're going to have a pretty good day.
Mm-hmm.
Or if their irons get hot, they're putting it to 15 feet, not 25 feet, and then still making the putts from that. Yeah, so I think that was a great talk. I do want to go to my favorite segment, which is the rapid-fire round, so I'm going to ask you a series of questions. Just feel free to just say the first thing that comes to your head.
Okay.
Something PG-13 like rated. You'll get a gist of it.
All right.
Give me your favorite golf course snack.
Golf course snack, a Glick, also known as a hot dog.
A Glick or a hot dog.
Yeah.
Fair enough. What is your best round of golf?
Best round of golf is when I'm having fun.
Okay, let's say that a little differently. What's the best score you've ever had on a golf course?
Oh, 9-under 62.
I was witnessing that. That was a pretty good day over at Peacock Gap. Shout out Stu. He'll get a kick out of that one. What is your biggest golf pet peeve?
Biggest golf pet peeve? I have two that are kind of tied. It would be slow play and people who take divots on their practice swing.
Really?
Yeah, I hate that.
The divots on the practice swing, yeah, that bothers you? Okay, yeah. Fair enough. Do you have any golf superstitions, like pre-tournament superstitions?
I feel like for me at least, I have to get some bowel movement going, if you know what I'm saying, before.
The pre-round dump.
And then I'm ready. Like, before a tournament, if it's between, like, a good range session, and I, like, I have to split my time, a good range session and, like, going to the bathroom, I'll go to the bathroom.
So, but you have to do it before you tee off?
Yeah.
Okay. And then final one is, give me your dream foursome.
Dream foursome?
Dead or alive?
Tiger Woods. Roy McIlroy and probably just
who we got? We got good. Give me one more.
Probably just one of my boys. I don't know.
Okay, so I'm invited. Is what you're saying?
Yeah.
Okay. Cool. All right. I guess we're gonna tee it up sometime soon. All right, guys. Jonathan, thank you so much for joining me on the podcast today. I really appreciate it. Let's go get him at conference. What do you say?
All right.
All right, let's go do it. Thank you guys for listening, and we'll see you next week on the Caddy Boy Podcast.